1340.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
All right, let's not do this, all right?
We got winners, we got losers, chain smokers and boozers, and we got yuppies, we got bikers, we've got thirsty hitchhikers, and the girls next door dress up like movie stars. Truckers, broken-hearted fools and suckers, and we got hustlers, we got fighters, early birds and all-nighters, and the veterans talk about their battle scars.
Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. That's Toby Keith, who sadly passed away at the age of 62. I believe it was stomach cancer. And he was known as quite a patriot, friend of the military. Very, very sad that he passed away. We want to honor him with that song. But good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Again, I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, February the 7th. We have a lot going on, believe me. In a few minutes, Christine McDaniel from the Mercatus Center will be here. We're going to talk about Donald Trump's idea, his plan to impose a 60% tariff on China if he gets back in. Now, something like that, she says, would be horrible for American consumers. So we'll be talking with her about that in just a few minutes. And Alejandro Mayorkas escaped impeachment yesterday, at least for a while. But why did one anti-Mayorkas Republican vote against him? Vote against ousting the Homeland Secretary yesterday when he wants him gone? We're going to give you the reason, so stay tuned for that as well. And guess which state wants to resume not only the electric chair, but the firing squad? We're going to tell you what the state is. We'll let you know a little bit later in the show about that. Very interesting. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. The top 10, you know, this is Super Bowl week, right? I don't know why they call it Super Bowl week. What do? You just wait for Sunday, don't you? But they're going to be playing in Las Vegas, the Super Bowl, on Sunday. So we're going to give you the top 10 oldest active NFL players. We'll see if Big Ed knows who the oldest active NFL player is. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut in Tampa Bay, for my money, it's Andrew's Master Barbershop. They are located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza that is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. You'll get a great haircut. It's a great price. Call first for your appointment. 727-733-3773. And if you have any kind of a tree need, do you want trees? Do you want to get rid of trees? Do you want stump grinding? Do you want enhancement of your trees? The best tree service company in Tampa Bay is ArborLife Tree Service. Call for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. So, did you know that there was a primary yesterday? There was. It was in Nevada. And guess who won? Haley was on the ballot. This is a Republican primary, but she did not win. Donald Trump was not on the ballot. You know who won? None of the above won. None of the above got
that
more.
That guy again.
Yeah, good old none of the above, or we call him Nunno, got more votes than anybody else. Now, this is kind of an embarrassment, I would say, for Nikki Haley. Voters casting ballots in the contest could not write in Donald Trump's name. They were not allowed to. I don't know why, but they could not do it. So the none of these candidates option was the one that got the most votes. So does Nunno get any delegates? Gets to go to the convention with delegates?
I was trying to think how that went after the vote at dinner, when somebody might have missed it. Said, "How did we do, Nikki?" Well, we came in second.
Yeah, the invisible man came in first.
Who came in first? None of the above. I don't know how you explain that to your donors.
I know.
You know? Give me some more money so I can come in third place.
Now, while her name was on the ballot, Nikki basically ignored the Nevada primary. There are no delegates, actually. I was making fun. There is a caucus coming up, and the caucus is where the votes in Nevada, the delegates can be distributed. So that's how that works. Haley's campaign manager said, in terms of Nevada, we have not spent a dime nor an ounce of energy there. Well, that doesn't make Nevadans, or whatever they're called there, that doesn't make them feel very good. We haven't spent a dime. Why? Don't you care about them? And so, of course, Trump took to Truth Social to talk about it. He said, a bad night for Nikki Haley, losing by almost 30 points in Nevada to none of these candidates. Watch, she'll soon claim victory. Hey,
She didn't come in third place to what's-his-name.
There you go. Now, our buddy Joe Biden made the mistake of getting in front of a microphone yesterday.
Oh, boy.
And poor guy, first of all, he claims that Trump and MAGA Republicans are the only reason the border is not secure. He has the nerve to get up and start going after Trump for all of the trouble that we're going through with the border. And he's been in now, what, 3 years? And he's blaming Trump. He made the claim during an address where he urged lawmakers on both sides of the aisle to come together and support the border bill. Biden's critics, by the way, including Elon Musk and Eric Schmidt, who was a Republican from Missouri, accused Biden of lying and gaslighting the American people. As a matter of fact, I think we've got a comment or two, I think,
he had one of his Biden moments, because he went off.
Had one?
What happens is he goes off script.
A little bit, yeah.
You know,
even once in a while.
Kevin McCarthy said, you know, that Kevin McCarthy came out and said, the former speaker said, I couldn't discuss the debt ceiling with him. And they were like, why not? Because he said, because it was never on the card. He always had a card in front of him, and if it wasn't on the card, he wouldn't talk about it. Now, there's times he goes off the script. And yesterday he was he was trying to talk about Hamas, but it seemed to escape him. And of course, everything was rolling. So here it is.
Okay. There is some movement, and I don't want to. I'll maybe choose my words. There's some movement. There's been a response from the. There's been a response from the opposition, but
it's Hamas, you idiot.
Yes, I'm sorry, from Hamas, but it seems to be a little over the top. We're not sure where it is. There's a continuing negotiation.
And he finally got it.
All right.
He finally figured it out.
Very interesting. Yeah, it's more fun to listen when he goes off topic.
That was 30 seconds of him.
Yeah.
Trying to think.
It's actually kind of sad.
And
it's also scary.
When is it not elderly abuse?
I think it is.
Stick him up there and have him make himself look like a fool.
I mean, that's the thing. It actually is a form of elder abuse. The people around him care more for themselves and their jobs than they do for the country and for this guy's health.
And once again,
not good for his health.
Once again, there is Biden trying to talk about Hamas in a very calm voice. Yeah, when he goes out and talks about Trump, he's all Trump.
Oh yeah, he gets all excited.
He's more concerned about it. Just goes to show you, they're more concerned about Trump than anything else in this world.
Yeah, real derangement syndrome. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Christine McDaniel will join us, and we're going to talk about Donald Trump's plan, if he becomes president again, to impose a 60% tariff on China.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. It's Wednesday. Thank you for listening to us. We're delighted to have Christine McDaniel join us. She is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. She was also a former deputy assistant treasury secretary or assistant secretary at the Treasury Department and a senior trade economist in the White House and their Council of Economic Advisors. And we're going to talk with her about President Trump bringing up the possibility that he might consider imposing a 60% tariff. 60% on China if he is reelected. Christine, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
We're doing good, thank you. Very, very good. A little nippy here, but we'll take it. Say, Donald Trump was, I guess it was on Sunday, he was on that Maria Bartiromo program on Fox News. She was interviewing him. He always does make himself available on Fox to a lot of people. And they started talking about imposing this tariff on all Chinese imports. And you say that this would be horrible for American consumers. Could you explain that?
Well, yeah. So, you know, a tariff is a tax on imports, right? So it sounds good because a lot of people think, oh, it's a tariff. You know, we're gonna hurt those foreigners that, you know, are shipping stuff to us. But really, the thing is, it's a tax on U.S. consumers, right? Because we pay that extra tax to buy those imports from them. So. Some people run these numbers, and I mean, if it really does happen, on average, we'd expect about a $2,500 extra $3,000 out of American household pocketbooks every year. So, just on that, you know, that is if it happens. But as we know, I mean, with Trump, it could be a negotiating tactic, and you know, he can be pretty clever with,
yes, he can,
with negotiating tactics. So, you know, what he says and what he does, you know, we'll see. Well, you know, if he were to do that, maybe he could get something for it.
And I think you're right on target there. I think it could be a ploy. And he can set things up that way and kind of scare China into, being a little bit more amenable when it comes to trade. You know, he always talks about trying to get American manufacturing in a better footing and trying to do a better job. But at the same time, I'll say one thing about him. He goes over there and he talks with all of these people, you know. He's gone over to China. He's gone over to North Korea, Mideast, everywhere, doing these kinds of things. But China might retaliate in terms of their their import situation, right?
Well, that's just it, Paul. And then the retaliation. I mean, in trade, it's always, you know, there's always one punch, and then there's always a counterpunch. And so the counterpunch can hurt, especially it hurts our U.S. Our American farmers. And, you know, I'm from the Midwest. I work with a lot of Midwestern universities, and you know, they're really worried. Their farmers are really worried about this idea of tariffs, because China is one of their biggest buyers. And as trade tensions with China just get worse and worse, you know, China has just more and more incentive to look elsewhere. And we see this with, you know, soybeans and wheat and corn and other things. You know, they can buy some of the stuff from Brazil, and it doesn't come with all the political baggage.
Yes. Apparently, and I think you made mention of this, Trump really did not get what he wanted from the last time that the Chinese and the United States negotiated terms. You say, moreover, the trade deficit was larger when he left office compared to when he arrived. So that probably left a little bit of a bad taste in his mouth.
Well, yeah, you know, and he can be vindictive, as
yes.
we've seen. So it would be interesting to see what he would come back and do about that. Maybe he would change his negotiating tactics, you know, or we'll see. I mean, the thing is, one thing that's not on the table with China, you know, it's not like they are going to change their entire authoritarian regime to become more, you know, democratic, or, you know, it's not like the Chinese Communist Party is going to change their mind on how they want to run their country. So it's not clear what's really on the table there with China. But my guess is Trump probably has, you know, got the learning curve and learned from what happened and what didn't happen when he did these things. Now, remember, though, with Japan, that was interesting with their after Trump left office, I ended up talking to one of his agriculture trade negotiators. And he told me that when they, I don't know if you guys remember, but remember when there was that idea where we were going to impose this big tariff on all imported automobiles? And
yes.
Everybody thought, oh, what's this about? This is crazy. And everybody, you know, went running around with their hair on fire. Well, it turns out that was a negotiating tactic to get Japan to the table to open up particular agricultural markets to U.S. farmers. And it worked. So, you know, sometimes you don't always know what's happening, you know, behind closed doors. So we just have to exercise caution in that way, I think.
We're talking with Christine McDaniel. She is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. She was also former deputy assistant secretary at the Treasury Department and a senior trade economist in the White House. Let me ask you, Christine, how would you rate, if there is anything, the relationship between the Biden administration and China when it comes to trade?
Yeah, that's really hard to answer.
I know.
I mean, you know, I'm not there. I don't know. And
it seems like nobody really knows what. I mean, are we just like laying low on that because of all the other things going on?
Yeah, it's not clear that that President Biden and President Xi have. It's really not clear what the dynamics of that relationship are. You know, where President Trump and President Xi, it did seem like they did talk more, you know, one-on-one. But that said, there's always a lot of discussions going on, you know, at lower levels. And, you know, and that's what we just don't know what's really happening. But in terms of what the policy is, the Biden administration has continued with much of the same policies on trade that the Trump people did. And, you know, but maybe without the one-on-one that you saw with Trump.
So do our farmers right now feel like they're getting, are they comfortable with the trade situation going on with China? I mean, have they gotten used to it? Do they want to see more done? Are they? Is our agricultural, industry pushing the Biden administration to try to change the relationship or whatever?
Well, I mean, you'd have to ask them. And they tell me, and when I talk to them and their associations and look at the data and talk to them about that, they're very worried that their largest market is under threat from these trade policies. And then, you know, look at what's happening with Mexico. Mexico all of a sudden decided that they didn't want to buy U.S. corn. And it took the Biden administration a pretty long time to even say they were going to fight for U.S. farmers on that. So, you know, meanwhile, Biden and his trade team seem to be obsessed with manufacturing. And the farmers are not really at the top of the list when it comes to this administration. And that really, I think that worries them.
Sure.
So, I think that we've got to really keep in mind the bigger picture. It's not just all about manufacturing and making sure steel is made here. I mean, there's always trade-offs. And our American farmers really need those foreign markets open to them.
Yes.
And that means they need Washington fighting for them.
Yes, that sounds right. This crossed the wire this morning. In fact, just as I was going to start talking with you, I saw this. Maybe you know about it, but and since you have a background at the Treasury Department, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was asked about whether or not the Treasury Department ordered surveillance of consumer purchases and transactions. She was asked this, I guess, apparently yesterday during a hearing, about whether or not the Treasury Department instructed financial institutions to monitor legal purchases for signs of extremism, as claimed in a House Judiciary letter last month. Have you heard anything about that?
Oh, no. I have not heard anything about that at all. That used to be more of an FBI thing. But
yeah.
But no, I haven't heard anything about that.
Well, apparently she sidestepped directly answering the question, which is a little bit strange. And if she sidesteps the answer, either she doesn't know anything about it or she does. and it might be going on. And anyway, I guess we'll find out down the road what that might be about. But it does seem like, I don't know, that our government is being, I mean, we've heard about the FBI and we've heard about other departments and surveillance. I hate to hear that we've got another department that might be doing it as well. But be that as it may, if Donald Trump becomes president again, would probably want to, I mean, we've got all of these concerns going now overseas anyway, and the idea that will China do anything with aggression? I just wonder if that discussion with Trump and China when it comes to imports and exports will be a major consideration of his.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine that it's not being discussed at all levels, including the highest levels. And then if Trump were to get into office again, that it would continue to be discussed. It's in no one's interest for U.S.-China trade to completely deteriorate. It would crash the, it would severely put a big dent in the U.S. economy and the global economy, and then that has a boomerang effect, of course, on the U.S. economy again. So that's in no one's interest. Everybody wants to keep our trade flows going. That stands for the last administration and this administration, and they both made clear that the only particular trade and investment flows that they were concerned about were those that included, you know, sensitive technology, sensitive, you know, advanced scientific and technology goods that our enemies could use against us militarily, right? So that we just have to kind of keep that in mind. And so, you know, that means it's a different story for T-shirts from China.
Yes.
than sending, you know, advanced computer chips to China that encompass the crown jewels of U.S. technology. So It's not that all trade with China is bad. It's just that, you know, we are now being extra vigilant on what we send and do not send to authoritarian regimes that, you know, want to aggressively and militarily advance against us and or our allies.
Yeah, indeed. And there's an old axiom, you know, that if you trade with a country, you won't be going to war with them. In other words,
well, yeah, that's, yes, we lived by that for a long time during the 90s and early 2000s. You know, peace and prosperity, trade and prosperity go hand in hand. And then people say, well, gee, was that really true? You know, that old Wilsonian notion, because look at China. Well, yes and no. I mean, think of it. If we didn't trade so much with China, maybe things would even be worse.
That's
with
right.
China. I mean, who knows?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
We've got to keep. Yes. I mean, we've got to keep the dialogue going with this and talking.
Absolutely.
With, you know, so absolutely right. Christine, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much for coming on. Always learn something from you. And I look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Thank you, Paul. And you guys have a great day.
And the same to you. Thank you, Christine. All right, Christine McDaniel. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Alejandro Mayorkas, you know, he escaped. He escaped impeachment yesterday. One of the Republicans who voted against ousting him actually wants him gone. We're going to tell you why he voted to not impeach Mayorkas.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. It's Wednesday. And so if you were watching the news yesterday, towards the end of the afternoon and early evening, the Republican-led House of Representatives failed to get enough votes to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. It was actually tied. And then one of the votes, a Republican, turned around and voted no. He changed his vote. He changed his vote from voting to impeach him to not impeach him. It was Blake Moore, who dislikes Mayorkas intensely, from Utah. So the question is, why would Moore cast a nay vote against Mayorkas? Well, he's not really against impeaching Mayorkas. He voted no because that way they can re-vote on this. If he had voted yes, then they went ahead with, and it was tied like it ended up being before he voted no. If it ended in a tie, they would not have been able to bring it to a resolution again. However, if it's voted down, believe it or not, the rules state that you can re-enter an impeachment vote. So, the current breakdown in the House right now, 219 Republicans, 212 Democrats. They were missing about three Republicans. So, Michael Johnson, the House Majority Leader, when he counted up, he thought he would have at least one extra vote to impeach, and he didn't have it. Yeah, go ahead.
If it were to go through and impeach him, what then?
Nothing, because they you'd have to get two-thirds in the Senate.
Even if they banish him and take away his dessert card and everything.
Yeah.
What next?
Right. Well,
then somebody else comes in. And yes. Then what does that person do? Exactly what he's doing.
Of course.
Exactly, because it's
everybody
it's
not, knows that.
But that's why it's a waste of time.
It is kind
it's
of.
It's a waste of money.
Yes.
Because the only one that's the one you want to pin it to is a guy on his first day
who
said, no more wall. I'm not funding another dime for the wall. He did say that. And Remain in Mexico is gone.
Yeah. It was cosmetic. It's to make the Republicans look like they're trying to do something.
They're
not going to be able to do it because the Senate will not. They're not even going to get, they wouldn't even get a majority, much less the two-thirds.
All that time and energy you're putting into this waste of a thing, concentrate on the final deal, and mm-hmm. that is to get Trump in office. That is to watch your backs and be ready because they're going to come up with something else. Something else is going to happen before the election.
Right, right. Well, we got the Master Barber here. I want to get his take on this whole scenario. It's kind of a strange one. I was rooting for them to impeach him, even though I know it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. But, Andrew, did you watch any of that at all yesterday?
No, Paul. To be honest with you, I didn't. And for one reason. All of this impeachment stuff is not going to go anywhere, Paul. It doesn't matter whether it's Mayorkas, whether they're talking about impeaching Biden. Nothing's going to happen with anything. It's like Ed said, all they're doing is wasting money.
They are.
I mean, this is going to keep going on until November. Why?
Yeah.
It's like he said, they need to concentrate on getting Donald Trump elected, and that is it right now. Because you can't stop nothing else that's happening. There's no majorities for nothing. It's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. Go ahead.
And, you know, the proof that the people want Trump was Nevada yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes, I was just going to bring it up.
I mean, let's face the facts. None of the above.
None of the above was the winner.
Say, Andrew, did you ever lose to none of the above?
I never did. I mean, what does
That's
that tell the people? What does that tell the people?
Yeah.
And, you know, it amazes me that people sit there and say, you know, Trump's doing, I don't think he can win. Does he think the American people are that stupid of what's going on with everything? Now, granted, there's a bunch of them that are. But
I was in the grocery store yesterday, and the woman in front of me, she's going through the checkout, and she says, she looks over at me, and I don't even know. She says, you know, you got to love these $12 cucumbers. And she had she had four of them. And she just said,
$12?
Four of them came to $12.
Oh, my God.
And she looked at me and she said, I can't wait till things are changed. And I knew what she was talking about.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. She just isn't afraid to say the word Trump.
Probably
and,
so.
And I find that, you know, a lot of people are that way. And I don't know what these American, I've never seen the American people so afraid of anything.
Well, because, Andrew, we're labeled. Because I'm voting for Trump, I'm a MAGA. Crazy, bigoted, or I'm a racist, I'm a white supremacist because I'm voting for him. And we've been labeled by that by who? The President of the United States.
You know, you cannot go by what this guy, you don't even understand what he said.
I don't. He doesn't go by it either, unless it's on the car.
He doesn't know what he said. Did you see him yesterday? The American people should be so embarrassed of what is going on. We're the laughing stock of the world. He's a bumbling fool.
You apparently didn't hear the doctored presentation by Big Ed.
Did you want to hear
great.
It?
You want to hear it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Hear it. We played this earlier.
Movement, and I don't want to choose my words. There's some movement. There's been a response from there's been a response from the opposition, but
It's Hamas, you idiot.
Yes, I'm sorry. We're from Hamas.
So there you go. We had a little fun earlier in the show.
You got to get a Bumble interpreter.
I tell you.
That's the only way you can understand him. There's no way. And like I say, it's a disgrace to America, to be honest with you. And I can't believe the Democrats just keep letting it go on and go on. Don't they realize what a disgrace they are?
During that bumbling presentation of his, he just went after Donald Trump. And he basically blamed MAGA Republicans and Trump for the border situation today. I almost fell off my chair. I of course, he'll say anything like that. But can you believe that he's trying to foist the blame on all of these people pouring through the border, on Trump and MAGA Republicans?
Paul, you know, I can give somebody a bad haircut and I can blame it on Trump. They blame everything on Trump. Okay, I mean, he's been out of there 3 years. Everything that happens is the responsibility of Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, period.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm still waiting because I know something will happen in this country. Because, like I told you before, out of 11 million people we know of that came in illegally, if 1%, only 1% is jihadists or Houthis or Hamas, 1%, that's 110,000, Paul. And that's an army.
You're right about
that.
And
I'll tell you what. I'm glad they got the walls up around that stadium to keep people out of the NFL games because you don't know who could get in there. I don't care how tight their security is. How many people are going to be at that Super Bowl? 100,000, 80,000?
Going to be a lot.
All it takes is one out of that 1%, Paul. Yeah. And you know what? The Americans might learn by then, huh?
Yeah. I was going to say, Christopher Ray is warning people that he thinks something bad is going to happen if, you know, and we've got to be prepared for it.
I want to say that the security is very tight, and it is, but if there's a way, they'll find it.
That's
We never thought they'd hijack planes before.
That. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
And something is going to happen. And the American people, I hate to say it, need another rude awakening. Because if you remember September 11th, all of a sudden for about a week, America was united.
Yes, it was.
1 week. And after that, they said, don't worry about it. No big deal.
Yeah, we started
and
falling
the people,
away.
They forget. The American people today, Paul, they're very complacent. They let things happen because they're in their cozy little corner. Well, their cozy little corner isn't cozy anymore. They can't afford to keep it warm. They can't afford to eat. They can't afford to buy a house, Paul. You know?
Yes, I know.
And this is all the cause of the Democrats. And what's her name? The woman in charge of the economy there? You were talking about her
Janet
earlier.
Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary?
Yeah, Janet Yellen. She sat right there the other day and said, if you people expect things to go down, you're wrong. Because once they're up, they're never going down again.
That's one thing I believe her on.
Yeah. There's no question. Everything else, she has no clue what she's talking about.
Yes, I know. And
as far as tariffs go in this country, when Donald Trump was president, he put tariffs against Mexico, if you remember. And didn't he end up getting $2 billion to put toward the border wall with that money, if I'm not mistaken?
Not directly, but he did force Mexico to keep people from, he intimidated Mexico into stopping people from crossing over the border.
In lieu of money, they enforced the Mexican military to enforce the wall.
Yeah.
That was in lieu of money.
Yeah, maybe that was right. That was
but,
what it was.
You know, tariffs, we have to have tariffs, Paul. I'm sorry. If we don't have tariffs, then this country isn't going to survive because we import everything.
Yeah,
money's got to come from somewhere, Paul.
So if we import and we're a step and we're putting tariffs on the imports, right? That means that we will be paying more for the products, right?
Well, that all depends because we can force them. You ain't going to raise your prices with the stuff that comes in here either. They got to survive. Face it. We are the largest country of consumers China has.
That's right.
And we all got to eat.
That's true.
Okay?
Yep.
And if you don't produce a product, you are not producing revenue. And this country is nothing but a service industry today, Paul. What are we going to do, service all the tourists that come here from China? You have to produce a product or you will starve.
Well, remember, we were the ones that were producing everything after World War II. I mean, like, everything.
And, that's right.
And selling it to the world. And then other countries started producing things at a lower cost, like the Japanese with cars and all of these other products that were coming from other countries, you know, even China. Remember, we used to laugh at the things that were made in China. Remember all the little paper products that we would get made in China? We would laugh about how...
I mean, back in the 80s, everything was made in Japan.
Or made in China. Yeah, all of that. And, of course, now they make things, because of their cheap labor, they make things for less than we can make them, because our unions forced up the prices. Look what happened to the car industry.
No, that's what I said the other day. I can't believe the automobile industry backs Joe Biden.
Look at the fast food industry and how it's changing now. You want $15 an hour? Guess what? We now up with robots.
That's
and
right.
Kiosks.
It drives
but we
people.
Don't need somebody at the register now. And we don't need somebody grabbing a hamburger patty.
That's right.
That's right.
That's what happens.
I hope they're happy, Paul. I hope the American people are happy of what they're turning this country into. Because every day they're losing freedom more and more. Every day they're getting hungrier. And every day there's more people in the street.
It's a mess. It's a real mess. We've got to turn things around. We've got to establish. We got to remember what our country was founded on. Why we became the greatest country in the world. Why we were the beacon of hope for the rest of the world. But it was because of our freedom.
To right now, to people outside this country, we are. Because you can not only come here, but you can come here and you can live, eat for free with a cell phone and everything. Like, you have your room and board paid for.
Yeah, it's obviously to the destruction of our country.
Well, I know, but we've always said, well, what about that empty building right there? It used to be a hotel. Why can't we put our homeless people in there? Oh, no. We can't afford the insurance costs and all that stuff. Oh, guess what? We'll put the migrants in there. The illegal immigrants.
Know, one thing, Paul, I'm going to say, and I'm going to say it very loud and very clear. If you want to turn this country around, years ago, the politicians we had were actually working people. They've worked a regular job. They're a politician part-time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe 30, 40 years ago, they started changing and made a career out of a politician. Okay, now you got people that went to college, never have no experience in their life of living or doing anything, working a job, become politicians. And this is what you got running the country, Paul. We need to get an average working man that has worked 20 years of his life hard, that's got a brain to run this country. That's what we need in our political people.
Yeah,
not a bunch of college graduates that they have no idea what life is about.
You know, if you go back to the start of our country, what was it? The people that voluntarily came to Washington, it wasn't Washington when we first started, but came to the wherever our federal government was, and they served for a short period of time. They went back to their farms, they went back to their families, and they didn't go there for the money. They went there for the service to our country. And that was what started us on the right track. We got away from that, of course.
And then what ended it is these college graduates that haven't worked a damn day in their life, Paul, becoming politicians. I'd like to know how many of these people in Washington didn't come from a wealthy family that put them through college and groomed them to be a politician.
Yeah.
Okay,
Biden's never been in the private sector a day in his life.
Paul, I can guarantee you can get these congressmen, the senators, and the president, okay,
yeah,
all the way up. Never worked a day in their life.
Yeah, you're right.
As far as I'm concerned, the only businessman that's been running this country was Donald Trump, and he did one hell of a job.
Well, and it looks like there's a real good chance he'll be back to continue that message. Anyway,
all we can do is pray for that, Paul.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, Andrew. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend. I hope to talk with you again on Friday.
You got it. You guys have a good day.
All right. You do the same. All right.
Bye-bye.
The Master Barber. He's always got something to say. Makes a lot of sense. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, guess which state wants to resume not only the electric chair, but did you know at one time we had a firing squad that was legal? And they want to do that as well. We'll let you know all about it when we come back.
And the sunlight hurts my eyes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, here on the great Tantalk Radio Network. We're always glad when you can listen live. But if you can't, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are on podcast. All you got to do at your leisure, go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. At the top, you'll see podcasts. Click on it. Ed's got our shows, most recent ones at the top. And you can listen at your leisure, so do so. All right, so guess which state, although they right now haven't executed anybody in, a long, long time. I'll find it here in a moment. In nearly 13 years, they have not executed anybody. Ed, do you have any idea which state is now considering bringing back the firing squad and the electric chair?
In the South?
Yes.
Mississippi.
It's a state that is going to be holding a primary fairly soon.
South Carolina?
Bingo. Oh. South Carolina. Now, there has not been a formal moratorium on the death penalty there, but they've not executed anybody in nearly 13 years after the drugs that they used to use for lethal injection, the drugs expired. And here's the deal. Companies refuse to sell more of that to prisons unless they can hide their identities. And so that's what's been slowing down all of the executions. Now, South Carolina purports that there are three execution methods that are allowed in the state: lethal injection, the electric chair, and the firing squad. Now, the last time a firing squad occurred was in Utah. Do you remember that guy? I can't remember who's, but he chose the firing squad.
Huh.
And he was, I think he was in the 70s, yes? It was in the 70s, and that was the last firing squad execution.
Because I know the other ways with the electric chair and the lethal injection, you don't know who actually does the duty because there's like three people.
Yeah.
And they each have a switch or they have an injector or whatever, and
yes,
they don't really know
you don't
exactly
know who does it.
Who did it.
It's the same thing, you know, with the firing squad. When they were doing
Some will have blanks, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There would be like one person that would have a real bullet, and they would all aim and fire at,
what
you
if
know,
he needed two?
I know. That's a good question, but I think it was only one, and that person didn't even know for sure. Nobody knew when they picked up the guns.
I think we're a little too inhumane what we're doing now, because I don't think the punishment fits the crime half the time.
In other words,
this whole thing about lethal injection, and they don't want them to feel anything,
yes,
and you know, and the electric chair is too barbaric, you know.
Well, here's what a lawyer for South Carolina's governor, Henry McMaster, has to say. courts have never held the death has to be instantaneous or painless.
Mm.
They've never held that you're guaranteed a painless death. So if that is the case, you know, there was always talk about how the people that were in the electric chair, you know, what a terrible way to go, right?
Yeah.
Or even when I don't know the last time, but we used to have hangings. I remember Kansas had that famous case where they hung the two men that killed that family, and they made a movie out of it with Robert Blake, and I can't remember the name of it. Truman Capote wrote even Cold Blood was the name of the movie. So, and we know that when they're hung or when they're electrocuted, there's probably some pain going on. So anyway, they're discussing it again there in South Carolina. Now, whether or not they'll bring it back, I would suspect that the pressure to not bring it back will be huge.
Mm.
But the question is, how would they execute? Mm. All right. Very good. All right. It's time for our, and Ed's reminding me, we've got to do our top 10, Ed. And is there any sports news we need to talk about? Or
no, we'll make our prediction on Friday, I guess. For the
that
Super
sounds
Bowl.
Good to me. All right. So this is a sports top 10, the top 10 oldest active NFL players. And I want to see if you know who's the oldest current.
Active, meaning in the league.
Currently in the league.
Tom Brady's out.
That's right. So here we go. Number 10. He plays for the Carolina Panthers. He is 38 years and 1 month old, and his name is J.J. Janssen.
Mm.
All right. Number 9. Brian Hoyer of the Las Vegas Raiders. He is 38 years and 4 months old.
Quarterback. Yeah.
Okay. Number 8. Matthew Slater, New England Patriots.
Yes.
38 years, 5 months. What position does he play? Do you know?
Slater, I believe, is a linebacker.
Linebacker. Number 7. Dwayne Brown, New York Jets. He's 38 years, 6 months old.
Mm.
Okay. Number 6. Joe Flacco. Is he still playing?
Oh, yeah. Came in for the Browns, got off the couch.
Yeah.
Came in for the Browns halfway through the year and lit him up.
There
got
you
him
go.
Into the playoffs.
39 years and 1 month old.
He's going to get a nice fat contract.
There you go. Number 5, Nick Folk.
Yeah.
He's a place kicker for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
39 years, 3 months. Number 4, Matt Prater. Matt Prater is also a place kicker, yes. He plays apparently for the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
39 years, 4 months, and 25 days.
All you got to do is keep your leg in shape. That's it.
That's right. Keep it in ice all the time.
You don't have to worry about running sprints and kicking or catching balls or anything like that.
There you go. Number 3. Well, number 3 is the tight end for the Green Bay Packers.
Mm.
Mercedes Lewis.
Lewis, yeah.
39 years, 7 months. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Number 2. Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
of course, we know he's a quarterback for the New York Jets. 40 years, 2 months old.
Yeah.
Who do you think is number one, Ed?
I don't know. I thought Aaron Rodgers obviously was going to be the first one. I don't know.
It's an offensive... Go ahead. Yeah. It's an offensive tackle for the Seattle Seahawks. He's 42 years old. Offensive tackle. His name is Jason Peters.
Yes. Yeah.
Oldest man in the NFL currently. So there you go. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday. Be careful out there. Be safe. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. Missing in the Southwest, a U.S. Marine helicopter. CBS's Cammie McCormick.